Good evening, everyone. Another few weeks, and we won't even see a shadow at this time of day outside. It's almost there now. We're still in Acts chapter 1, page number 9 in the lesson book. We're down to question 4. And I don't know that we'll get through the rest of the lesson. I was hoping we'd get through it tonight, but I have a feeling we won't get there. There's too many nuggets, good nuggets there to discuss. So I imagine we'll be another couple this week, maybe the week next week will be the gospel meeting, but the week after that maybe we'll finish it, and then we'll get into chapter 2. And I think we'll have lots of good discussion in chapter 2. As our custom has been, let us read the chapter, or not the chapter, but the second part of the chapter, verses 12 through 26, to get us started. So if anyone wants to volunteer to read.
I'll read.
All right.
Then return then to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of his ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Acheldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. Bishopric, let another take, wherefore these men which have campaigned with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, choose whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
All right, question number 4. What does all these continued mean? Just a second. Yes, that would include those things.
They didn't stop.
They didn't stop. They were united in what they're doing. They were continuing doing the things that you mentioned there. All these continued just meant that they were keeping going. They didn't stop because Jesus left. They didn't stop because he went up into the heavens. How did they all continue?
Together.
In one accord, yeah.
And that's not 100.
In one accord, in unity, they kept these things going. And in what did they all continue? Prayer and supplication. So now begs the question, what's the difference in a prayer and a supplication?
Doesn't supplication mean something to the idea of a holy desire, holy requests, you know, requests that are in line with the will of God, but not necessarily asking for necessarily, but asking kind of like, thy will be done sort of thing.
I like to think of it, the difference in a prayer and a supplication like this is a prayer is an address to God. You think of a prayer as being like a conversation. Then when you get to the supplication, that's where you're getting serious. Like you're saying, this is the serious part. If you remember that when Jesus prayed on the mount, what was it said he prayed and sweat come from his face as great drops of blood. That was a, if you look at what he prayed, that was a supplication because he was leaning on the will of God, making a request, if it be your will that I not go through these things, not your will but mine, or not my will but yours. I'll spit that right in a minute. That was, go ahead. And so we think of a supplication being a prayer request. It's seeking, entreating. You're pouring your heart into it. It's got an emotional. Both of them do, but this one has an extra, I like to say, an extra emotion component to it. You're really pouring your heart out into this request. Yes, sir. Yep. Next page. Name the ones associated with the apostles at this time. Around verse 14.
Women.
Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Jesus,
brethren. Yep, and his brethren. All these are the three, or the ones, it's called here associated. You've got a group of people with his brethren, then you've got the two, one individual, then another group of women. You know that it was customary back then not to count the women. You counted the men. And so I wonder if that's why it's listed this way, to let you know there was women there, because later when we get to the 120, talking about them, I guess there could be a question there of that number, was that men only, which most likely it was. So there was probably a lot more than 120 there that day, which would be in the next question. But who is mentioned here for the last time in the Bible?
Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Interesting to think of, isn't it? I started to write down Judas, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. He's mentioned another time in this chapter. what does the Catholic Church teach about Mary?
She's the mother of God.
Mother of God. Actually, there's a whole section of things.
In other words, that Joseph never knew his actual wife, which is really weird. But they teach you that.
They pray to her.
They pray to her.
Yep.
Did you say they say she was the mother of God?
Yes, they say she's the mother of God. But this is the way it's explained. Mary gave birth to the Son of God. So although she is human and could not create God, she still gave birth to Jesus, who is God, which makes her the mother of God. That's the way it's viewed.
And their prayers, Mary, the mother of God.
And if you get to the everyday Catholic's not going to know much, not going to know some of these things we're going to be talk about with this. But especially when you get into the reason, we're not going to go into the rosary. The rosary is tied into this, I don't know if you've seen the rosary beads where you give how many Hail Marys and then you do this and then you count this many more beads off, you do this, and
the
when you get to the
vain repetition.
Yes.
Instead of holy petitions and supplications, it's vain repetition.
Yes.
Made
up. Made up in their religion.
Oh, yeah, because it's not mentioned in our Bible, is it?
No.
They
don't
believe
their Bible. They don't think our Bible's
complete. No, they have.
They don't think our Bible's complete.
This is a tradition.
Yeah, this is in the catechisms, which is their traditions, rather than in even.
Yeah, like you said, it comes from the book of catechisms, which is their secondary book.
You also find in the catechisms where they justify images in worship, like pictures of Jesus or images of Jesus and other statues of saints and stuff that they venerate. The reason why they justify that is because, well, Jesus came in the flesh, and so since he lived as a man, then we can put up an image of him as being a man. And that does not authorize it, but so be it.
And also, if you get a copy of a Catholic Bible, one that's been blessed and stamped and all that stuff, it will have additional things in there. It'll have the books of Apocrypha will be part of their biblical canon.
Verses of Maccabees, verses of Ezra's.
But are those books
lost chapters of Daniel?
They say they're the lost chapters.
No, some of them, if you even read them, some of them don't claim to be inspired. They're questionable as why they were left out. The questionable authenticity.
Yes.
I've read, it's been a long time since I read through them, but I mean, there's some neat stories in there. One of my favorites is when they bust the god because they're doing I can't remember the name of the god now. I think it might have been Molech, where they were laying the children up there, the vegetable sacrifices and this, that, and the other. And so they kept wanting to bust them. Said, this is not right. Is that in the lost chapters of Daniel?
I'm not sure where that one's at.
But anyway, basically they spread, it's kind of funny because they spread flour on the floor at night. And so when they see the people coming in and they leave the footprints when they go take the stuff off the hands of the arms of the god or the offering plate of the god at night. So that's how they bust them. And so they prove, there's some neat stories in there where they prove that there are false gods. So there's some neat readings in there. But there's also some stuff is like, no, can't buy into that at all. But I know that a few years ago, this was one of the back to the Mary thing. We discussed Mother of God. They call her the Mother of the Church, and they call her the Mother of the Mystical Body of Christ. That's probably less familiar. Mary is called the Mother of the Church because she's the Mother of Christ. And the church is the mystical body of Christ. So Mother of Christ can also be called the Mother of the Mystical Body. And the mystical title that the church is more than an external organization, structure, and institution, but is more primarily its union to all members forming one body. So that's a little bit deceptive there in reading it because it seems like it has some truth in it. Also, one of the things that they talk about with Mary, let's get the page here, is, you get some big words here. Theotokos, I don't know if you're familiar with that term, Theotokos, which means Mary the Mother of God.
And Theos is God.
Yeah. I probably didn't pronounce it right. And then the perpetual virginity Timothy mentioned a minute ago. They say she was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. And perpetual being continual, even though she had other kids and didn't know her husband.
What about James, the half-brother of Jesus? What did they do with that one?
Exactly.
It's like, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's... You're not guessing about that because it actually tells you that. And then the other thing, one other thing, and then we'll let that go, I guess. One of their teachings about Mary is, which I thought was interesting because that completely ignores the Old Testament, but his assumption is, as they call it, Mary was taken body and soul into heaven. So they believe that in this, that she is the only one that is in heaven with Christ from this earth. So,
they also believe that you had to go through her forgiveness of sin.
That's correct.
Along with the Pope and all the priests and everybody else too.
Yeah, it's.
As it turns out, you don't have direct access, is what they're trying to teach.
So the thinking behind the assumption is Jesus chose to honor his mother and give her his glory in heaven. So that and also part of this with the praying to Mary is she's got the attention of Christ. So you pray to her to get the Christ sort of thing as an additional source. Now they're not opposed to praying to Jesus or through Jesus or to God, but Mary seems to be the avenue they feel is I guess more necessary. So it's an interesting thing reading about it. I mean, there's some other things that I choose not to get into that they believe about it, about her as well. But I thought that they're completely ignoring. What about who was the one in the Old Testament whom God took?
Enoch.
He's one of two, and Elijah. He took him. They didn't see death. Do you think they're not up there with God? Why would he have taken him otherwise? So, you know, it's like, huh, that's something he's going to say.
Yeah, well, since we're studying from a book inspired by Luke, I'll reference his gospel about a statement that a woman made toward Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' response to that, because the Catholics try to teach that Jesus decided to honor Mary in this way rather than the way that, you know, he actually committed her to the trust of the Apostle John. And John clearly took care of her, took her unto his very own, which would also, by necessary inference, kind of clue us in that perhaps Joseph is dead at this point. But whether he is or not, John made sure she was taken care of and honored as though she were his mother. But anyway, Luke 11, verse 27 and 28 say this. It came to pass as he spoke these things, Jesus is teaching the gospel here, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bare you and the paps which you have sucked. So, blessed is Mary, basically. Blessed is the womb that bare you and the paps which you have sucked. Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, if she keeps the word of God, if she hears it and keeps it, she's blessed. If anyone hears the word of God and keeps it, they're blessed. Yea, rather means this is where the real blessing is. Not that somebody mothered me, but that people hear the word of God and keep it. It's that simple.
Quick.
That's Luke 11, 27 and 28. She was the mother of Jesus. She had to be faithful, and I believe that with all my heart she was. But that doesn't mean she deserves worship or undue glory, nor does any other saint.
If when I was down in Mexico, 3 summers ago now, one of the things they wanted me to see is all these Catholic churches. I finally looked at one and said, I don't care about all this. I finally hated to tell him that, but I did, because every time we go to a city, that's where they wanted me to go, is to see these masterful, now some of them would probably be billion-dollar facilities. And every time you go in there, or everyone you'd see, have the cross up front. You know, that part was the same. Then on the sides, you'd have the sometimes lavers and sometimes saints. And And there was always Mary, statue of Mary. Mary the mother.
That comes from and they had more Eastern religions, actually, of a mother of God, you mm-hmm. know, type concept. That comes from Babylon. And that could be a reference as to why Mystery Babylon in the Book of Revelation could be referenced in Roman Catholicism.
Well,
but anyway.
Well, it was neat to see, you know, see some of that stuff. It's like after you see four or five of them, it's like, okay, I'm done. Because the outside was, I was more interested in seeing the exterior architecture than the inside, because to me, that was where the uniqueness was. All right, question number six. What does in those days refer in verse 15? Yep, I put between the Ascension and before Pentecost. Yep, because we hadn't got there yet to the next chapter. How many disciples were there?
120.
About 120. And it says the number of the names together were about 120. As we started to mention a minute ago, I'm not for sure that this would have included the women, but we know women was there. Because we were told in verse 14, women was there.
A good point to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember the parable of the fishes. When they counted the men and didn't count the women and children.
Right. This was a common occurrence. So my guess is going to be that there was a whole lot more people there than this, than the 120 plus the 11, well, we know there was more than 11 disciples because it had two to pick from.
Yeah.
So we know that was an additional 12 that could have been counted into 120. But I'm thinking that Mary and the women that were there were probably not counted. So if you look around us tonight, and well, we're about even split in here tonight, but like I've said in the past, this has been the most even split place I've ever been. Most of the time, but most congregations I've spent time with in the past, it's almost a 2-to-1 ratio on women to men.
Yeah.
And it's not because they wed it either, most of the time. It's because their husbands don't come. That's a lot of it. So if you apply that same witness that you see today, and that there could have been twice that many people, easily.
I'll say, based on the evidence in this chapter and the chapters that there's no doubt whatsoever that this 120 is not including the women. There's no doubt, and I'll prove it. It's in the chapter. It's actually there.
Yep.
The names of the apostles are mentioned. Then it mentions verse 14. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Now, who was named? The men were, but the women aren't here. And then in the very next verse, the number of disciples being about 120. You flip over to Acts chapter 2, 3,000 mm-hmm. souls were baptized that day. That is men and women, because women and men alike have souls. 3,000 souls were added to the Lord's church that day. But then in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So the Bible clues you in every time. Sometimes you got to look back at it. I've never looked at that little detail before until tonight, but it stood out to me because you're talking about how the apostles were named a lot last week, and here they are. They're named, but the women aren't mentioned here by name. That's not to say they're not important, because they are extremely important. They're like the lifeblood of the church, just like the men are. We all have a purpose, and that's the beautiful thing about the gospel. But they didn't count the women as far as the number of the 120 goes.
Hey, go ahead.
We have to remember, too, that under the old law, that's what they were under. When they numbered the men, if you weren't of a certain age, you weren't counted.
Yes, that was common practice as well. So if there were children there, they wouldn't be in that number.
He wasn't old enough to be conscripted
Mm-hmm. He was. And did. Now, you got ahead of me because I was headed towards Acts 2. That's okay. No, nothing to be sorry about. Because we know that there were at least that many, the 3,000 minimum. And also think about it, not everybody received the word either. So how many, who knows how many people was there? It could have been 4,000 or 5,000.
There's hundreds of thousands of people there. There's probably close to 1 million Jews there to observe Pentecost during that time, because they came from every nation under heaven, as it mentions. That's why the number increased so rapidly, because these people are staying for certain set feasts. And so, you know, anyway, yeah, it's complicated, but the number was quite large. It should have been more than 3,000 women. But what you got to understand is not everybody got to hear them that particular day.
Right. And not everybody was in the upper room. You know, location. But either way, there were a bunch of people. When Peter gets going, I believe we got a bunch of people. We got there's a huge, huge audience.
Remember too, that they spake, which includes the other apostles, in different tongues, which are different languages. So there was a multitude of languages there, multitude of different nations. Well, they're all Jewish, but when I say that, they were from all, like you said, from all over.
Yeah.
So he would include a very large number.
Mm-hmm. We know a minimum of 3 continents just because of the nations listed. The next part of the question is, does this mean this was all the disciples or all that were together at this time?
It just means all that were together at this time.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. Number 7, name 4 things Peter said about Judas. Find in verses 17 and 18. Yes, that's 2 of them that I had. I put he was numbered with us out of verse 17. And he obtained a part of this ministry. Then he purchased a field with the field, and then he burst asunder, was burst open.
And David mentioned Judas. David spoke of Judas.
Yep. Yes, in the Psalms. Question number 8 was what scripture was fulfilled in appointing one to take Judas' place?
David?
Yes, or specifically mentions here in the Psalms,
yeah.
In verse 20, where he said, yeah, for it is written in the book of the Psalms. So it's a quotation from the book of Psalms.
That was 109, verse 8, Psalm 109.
Yep.
Psalm
109, verse 8. I believe so.
This one, there's about 3 different psalms that reference the betrayal of Judas. But this one in particular mentions, let his days be few and let another take his office or bishopric. And so there's a prophecy about the fact that he would not only fall away and his days would be cut short, he would die, and as we know in this case, by suicide, because of the guilt of betraying innocent blood. But also, let another take his office indicates, and Peter rightly understood this, because he's been helped by the Lord, and the Lord has helped him to understand the scriptures. He's opened their mind to those scriptures, and anyway, he understands now that somebody has to take his place, because even the Psalms predict that his office must be replaced. It cannot be left destitute.
And, yes. Next part was, how did the Holy Spirit speak?
I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
When it said obtained part of the ministry, does that mean that he was part of those that was part of the limited commission, or does it mean that he was a disciple up until this point in time?
I believe believe he was, if you look, question number 9, where we discuss this, what was the ministry which Peter referred to in verse 17? I believe it was his office, but and when he obtained the ministry, I believe he fulfilled his obligation. And when he was... Yeah, well, that, and like you said, did he go on a limited commission? Probably so. He had to, or else he'd have been, you know, and think about it, when we read in the Gospels, he was with them for the, you know, the different meals and things that happened.
He was
there with them. He was given power.
He was given the power to cast out demons. He was given the power to heal the sick, raise the dead. Every power that Peter or James or John or any other apostle had, he possessed that same power, and he betrayed Jesus. It's the most strongest case for a disciple falling from grace.
It is. What's that? Did I misunderstand something? Yeah.
Yeah. Satan wasn't always in Judas's heart. He allowed Satan, just like later on in Acts chapter 5, I think it's Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they allow Satan to fill their heart and to lie to the Holy Spirit. So,
yeah.
It's possible to fall from grace. It's possible to, as Hebrews 6 talks about, to partake of the powers of the world to come and to fall away.
And if you think if it would have happened to Judas, it could definitely happen to us.
This blast a bombshell of a hole into Calvinism, irresistible grace, and also perseverance of the saints. Those are two blown away right there by Judas's fall. Just his example alone.
Why does one of the scriptures say that Judas hung himself?
Now say that again.
I think isn't there one passage in one of the books that says that Judas hung himself?
Yes.
And then this one says he cast himself down.
Well,
same thing. The same thing. I mean, he, you know, in a hanging, you know, an old West hanging, you say, you know, you're sitting on a horse, takes off, or they've got you standing on something, they kick it out from under you, or the it drops off. Another way of hanging is to jump off something. Now, wait a minute. Now, that part is something different. This is another part of the process that's gross. But why did he fall headlong? Think about it just for a moment. He was so rejected and hated at this point, they didn't even cut him down. The rope most likely rotted in two before he fell. That's most likely what happened. That's how he...
Your body starts to decompose.
Yeah, decompose, and that's how he fell.
And that's why his bowels gushed out, because his body was
bust. Yeah, he popped.
When you put the accounts together, you get a nasty picture of a hanging, and eventually the corpse decomposing and being crushed by the rocks below, and the weight of his body destroyed his... It was gruesome. We'll just say that. Cursed is every man that hangs on a tree, and Jesus partook of that curse also by hanging on the cross, even to redeem the vilest of sinners. But Judas, in his case, it would have been better if he was never born, as Jesus said.
When he talks about his bowels and things, if you think about it, if you've ever seen an old big cow or anything, they swell up.
They do.
And if you were to drop them,
yeah, they're going to burst.
They're going to burst, yeah.
Part of that's because of methane gas and stuff trapped in their stomachs. But yeah, it's the same concept, though.
Yeah, it's the same thing. If he hung up there long enough for either the rope to rot in two, that's the way I have viewed it.
Or some have suggested that the branch that he hung himself on could have broke after.
It could have.
You know.
Well, either way, evidently some time has passed. Some time has passed, and... It's not good. And it don't take many days either, if you think about it. You see an animal on the side of the road in the summertime, it's not too many days where they bust open. Swell up, bust open. But we don't witness that a lot, because the state cleans up a lot of that dead animals and things on the road. But when you don't see that, it doesn't take long for that to happen. We're, you know, within a week, pretty easy.
What do you think about Peter being the one that points this out? Because he came almost as close as Judas. He didn't have ill intent in denying Jesus, but the fact that he denied knowing Jesus with an oath, and that, you know, he had to be converted, as Jesus put it, you know, he had to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about him being the one that points this out? It kind of lets you know that sometimes if you fall, you know, you have a concern for the other people that have fallen. And, you know, this would have been a painful thing. This, you know, Judas betraying Jesus, and once they figured out that he had actually done it, you know, they didn't understand that night all that was going on. They didn't understand that Satan was in his heart to betray Jesus. They just thought Jesus was sending him out to give something to the poor or to do something else. And so, and the Gospels cover that fact. So it's just kind of neat and interesting that Peter covers this detail. But it also shows his leadership capabilities, you know, as an apostle, that he has a concern that, you know, somebody takes his place, that someone's on equal footing with them.
Yeah.
A little bit, but yeah, it's just kind of neat that Peter, who kind of fell away and was restored by the Lord, you know, some people have thought, you know, maybe Judas could have done the same thing if he hadn't went out and hung himself. Maybe he could have turned back, came to repentance or something. I don't know, but it's sad that he did that.
I've thought about, too, that, I mean, it's not the way that it happened. I wondered if the high priest had received him differently, if there could have been penance for Judas. I don't know. And think about the reaction. You know, what would God do if that would have taken place? I don't know. Now we're, to me, that's reaching out there.
Because what he got to see and what he got to partake in of those powers.
Yep.
To renew such a one to repentance again, Hebrews 6 talks about this, is it's impossible to renew them to repentance again. So you can go to a point where you're not coming back.
Well, that's the sin not to pray for.
Yeah.
Because so, it's just, they're just not turning around.
Yeah.
Back to the high priest and things, remember what happened when he went with 30 pieces of silver to give it back? They wouldn't take it back.
Yeah, they wouldn't take it.
Oh.
Actually, that'll get into our, we're going to end at question number 9, but really 10 and 11 will spark the discussion for that, the 30 pieces of silver. Does anyone have any other comments or questions? All right, we'll end right here and pick up with question number 10 next time.
So is it just a coincidence that Stan's preaching his gospel?
It really is. Because when he told us...
You can tell him that too.
Yeah, I think he knows it.
For